This is Mackenzie. I am doing a quick monologue before I just start into the unabridged interview. I have not edited this interview in any way. There might be some awkward silences or little feedback things, just because I was interviewing my friend Jason Freeman from 2,000 miles away. I apologize. But I do believe that this conversation is a good one and a worthy one, and I hope that it answers some of your questions, especially about nuances between the books and the movies that we weren't able to get to just lengthwise in our last episode. So without further ado, please enjoy. Hello and welcome to Didion Hawthorne in the In-Between, or DH&I. I'm your host, Mackenzie Gentz, and you're listening to our podcast about the relevance of literature in the 21st century. Now bookmark that book, and let's begin. Okay, my first question is about the movies, by the way. So the movies start with the first movie being the story of the kids, and then the second movie is the story of the adults, whereas the book is actually from the perspective of the adults, like looking back on the whole childhood thing. Do you think that, like, the way that movies are chronologically ordered makes you believe that everything is from the perspective of the children? Like, you base your entire reaction to the second movie off of the first?
You mean, like, the second movie is also based on the, like, imaginations of the children, in a sense, or?
Yeah, like, the fact that the kids were deemed most important for the first movie leads you to be like, oh, the adults maybe aren't, their experience is not as important because it comes after the kids.
Ah. I didn't really think of it that way. I saw it as just a continuation in a sense, but also as, I mean, it's the end of, it's their goal, basically, the sort of they wanted to accomplish. I mean, I see your point, though. An interesting way of seeing it. Yeah, they aren't as important, I guess, in the second movie as they are to the first ones, as the point of the first movie was their importance to it all. But, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know, it was interesting seeing especially the second movie, and because I hadn't read the book at that point, and I have read the book now. So, yeah, like, the audiobook was 44 hours long, by the way. Definitely.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think, like, it's weird how the movies turned out, just the way that they planned them out, because I think maybe there was more appeal to tell the story of the kids first than the story of the adults. But in the book, you actually get to, like, more than halfway through before they start recounting their childhoods at all. So
the book starts out with, like, the adults, and it goes to the adults for the majority of the book before it even starts with the kids.
Yeah, like, the very beginning is Georgie's death, so the exact same, like, as the beginning of the first movie. But then immediately after that, it goes into the stories of the adults, basically exactly as they are in the second movie.
Oh, that's very different.
Yeah, and you don't actually understand what they went through as kids until probably hour 30 out of 44.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they meet up and everything before you know why they're meeting up. It's kind of strange. So yeah, that's why I was like, well, maybe they, because I don't know if they plan the movies out to have a sequel necessarily. Like, I'm not sure that the sequel was totally expected or planned, and it kind of felt like an afterthought.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they planned for a sequel or not. I mean, it seems like they plan to adapt the whole book, but it's better movie-wise to tell the story of the kids, because that's just probably a better movie overall for, like, general audiences.
Yeah,
it makes a better horror movie.
It is a little weird to have, like, a bunch of adults, like, meeting for no reason that you can discern. That makes sense to me. Okay,
like, the second movie, although being branded as a horror movie, wasn't really as much of a horror movie as it was just a continuation of the story and ending it off.
Yeah, exactly. That was my second question, is Do you think that they do a good job of making them horror movies? Like, do they articulate fear in a good way? And my answer to this is no.
Yeah, the second one, not a horror movie really at all. It has some jump scares, and that's really it. It's more like finishing their story and telling the rest of what needs to be told and just adapting the rest of the book. The first one was better, but it wasn't too much of a horror movie.
Yeah. No, I agree. I feel like I liked the first one better. I just thought it was a better movie. But the second one, you rely on the imagery, and especially like how they interpret what the kids look like as adults. You rely on it so much when you're reading the book that I found myself thinking a lot more about the second movie, if that makes sense. Yeah, so like I think about the second movie all the time, especially as I'm like revisiting certain parts of the book for this episode, but I don't know, I liked the movie, the first one, better. Just better cinematically as well.
Yeah, the first movie definitely, it was way better cinematically shot. It fit better as a horror movie, although it wasn't too much of a horror movie, but it was better overall as what it was meant to be.
Yeah, I also thought, like, the clown, like, in the book, he's actually not a clown for most of the time. He's, like, the teenage werewolf and, like, a mummy and these different, like, oscillating characters. So he's not actually the clown for, like, 80%.
He can change forms into whatever is your most deepest nightmare, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, at one point, he's, like, a bunch of leeches that, like, fly out of this refrigerator and kill this kid, but... I thought he acts a little cinematically like the shark in Jaws. Like, the more you see him, the less scary he is, sort of.
Yeah, definitely. You're not supposed to show the horror villain too much in a horror movie, so that you keep that suspense and wonder about what it is and why it makes it scarier that way.
Yeah, and so, like, therefore, I thought the second movie showed that, like, demon monster thing way too much. For the shock value of, you know, like, is it a Swedish actor that plays it? I think that's so funny. But for the shock value of that person's character to really have its full effect.
Yeah, plus coming off the first movie and knowing, like, how the monster basically works... Going into a sequel, basically having the exact same monster and the exact same, like, gimmick, it doesn't really make it as scary since you know everything.
That's true. And the other thing is that the image of it is different than in the book. So, like, in the book, he looks more like, almost like the clown from The Simpsons, kind of. Where he has, like, bright orange hair and then a silver jumpsuit with buttons on it, like, orange buttons. Which is interesting to me because I feel like they totally revamped the clown suit, and I'm not sure it's as effective as is the way that they have it in the movie.
I can't say for certain since I haven't read the book, so...
Guess it is actually more loyal than I thought. Sorry, I just looked up a picture of him. Okay, I see. So this is what I have just discovered. The clown in it is very, very, like, loyal to the book. But the one from the series from the 80s is not loyal at all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this clown has the, like, orange buttons and the silver suit. And the orange hair. Whereas the other one does not. Cool. Okay, my last question is, what did you think of the child acting in the first movie? And I guess to an extent in the second movie, since they bring the kids back, but mostly the first.
In It's been a while since I've seen the first one.
I know, me too.
When I saw the movie, I didn't think it was terrible, but I mean, child actors are notably not the best actors.
Yeah, there's, and the reason why in part I asked this question is because actually Shia LaBeouf, yeah, the guy, Shia LaBeouf, he just wrote the screenplay and directed a movie that won the award at the Cannes Festival. Uh-huh. And it's like the best child acting apparently that has happened in a long time. So I was wondering like what other examples recently of child acting do we have? And I suppose that, you know, to an interesting extent, like there's Jojo Rabbit that just came out, and that was very good child acting in my opinion. But yeah, like what other examples do we have? It is one of them. And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not too many that I can think of at the moment, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, I think they did a good job of embodying the kids' images, especially like being reliable to the book to a certain extent. But
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. I don't know. Like stuttering Bill character as well.
Yeah, I did notice in the second movie during some of the like flashback scenes, the child acting wasn't the best. It felt kind of stiff at places. Yeah.
I agree. I think that they didn't integrate those scenes very well into the movie.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, and I kind of left with the feeling, not being sure if those were recorded during the time of the second movie, or if they just used the same clips that were in the first movie.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, because it seemed like some of them were just like, they're playing the clips from the first movie. Some of them seemed new, but I wasn't, yeah, it felt off.
Yeah.
At times.
No, I definitely agree. If you enjoyed the discussion and would like to hear more from me, there's a show and a series for everyone, so I'd recommend checking out our brand new website, relevanceofliterature.com, for links to our entire back catalog of episodes. You can also follow us on Twitter or join our Facebook group. Our handle is @DidianIn, 2 N's total for both of those. And finally, if you want to support the show, help keep it ad-free, and get access to our new private podcast, go to patreon.com/relevanceofliterature and sign up to become a sponsor. All of the relevant links, as always, are in the description box down below. Still there? One more thing then. Remember that leaving a comment or a review on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or any other Guilty Pleasure podcast platform helps leverage the show so that other literature enthusiasts can find the community. In other words, it helps a ton. Auf Wiederhören!